Thank you for joining us tonight for our Wednesday Bible study. And thank you for taking the time to be a part of this service. I trust God that you are having a wonderful week. This is a week of celebration. It's not just a week of celebration. It's also a month of celebration. This is the season when we celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the redemption of all mankind and everything that that entails. And what a blessing that we can be alive to celebrate. We can be alive to experience in 2020 the blessings of the resurrection of our Lord. So I welcome you tonight, and I'm going to have us get into the Word of God in just a minute here. I understand that last week we had a little technical hiccup and we lost some people because there was a drop in the stream on YouTube. I don't think that happened on Facebook or on our website. But if that happens again tonight, it's not likely to happen. I don't anticipate any problems. But if that happens, just refresh the stream and get right back on, and you should be able to catch up with us from wherever you left off. But I want us to share a word of prayer and get into the Word of God tonight. Father, I thank you so very much for tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is taking the time to join us, people that are joining us locally around here, around our region here, and those who are joining us around the country in the United States, and those who are joining us from different parts of the world, and those who would be listening to this message and this teaching afterwards. Father, I pray for all of them and their families. I thank you, God, for everything that you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for your mighty hands upon our lives, that you continue to watch over us. Thank you, God, you have never left us without help. You have never abandoned us. God, you have always been our shelter. You have been our keeper, our rock of ages. And Lord, we're thankful to you. Thank you, God, even for this season, as we celebrate Easter, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday, and Easter Monday, and everything that comes along with this season. We're not unaware of the difficulties that so many people around the world are experiencing. But God, we choose to focus on you in this season. Our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are not on the world. Our eyes are not on what the enemy is trying to do. Our eyes are not even on COVID-19. Our eyes are on you. So bless your people tonight. Bless them with the word of God. Bless them through the word. I pray, God, that everything we do tonight glorify you. I speak the blessing of God through the airwaves, through this media, through this equipment, and wherever our people are listening, whether it's on our conference line or on YouTube, Facebook, or on our website. I pray, God, let the anointing of God that is right here in this studio, let it be a part of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, I want to welcome you again and thank you for joining us tonight. Remember that on Wednesdays, we have been discussing our covenant. Our covenant is our defense against every assault of the enemy, whether that assault is called COVID-19, whether it's called cancer, whether it's called accident, whether it's called whatever that assault is called, famine, recession, all of these are assaults of the enemy. No matter what that assault is called, our covenant is our defense against every assault of the enemy. We have seen, we have learned, and we've talked about this. Our covenant is like the ark of Noah that the Lord instructed him to build just before the onset of the flood. And the Lord gave him specifications as to how he was supposed to build that ark, and then gave him instructions about what he and his family were supposed to do. And as long as they followed the specifications, and as long as they obeyed the instructions that the Lord gave them, it did not matter how long the flood went on for, how long the ravaging of the earth that happened through that flood, the ark carried them. The ark kept them. And I just want to assure you and remind you again tonight, child of God, that no matter how long, no matter how bad the ravaging of any assault of the enemy is, our covenant will carry us. The Lord has guaranteed that he will keep us, that he will protect us. He will watch over his word in our lives to perform it. We will not fall prey to the assault of the enemy. The Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so in this season, I really want to encourage us to put our eyes very strongly. I want us to put our eyes very strongly on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to very, very, very strongly focus on the work of redemption that he did. You remember in the Old Testament, I think it was somewhere in Deuteronomy, if I'm not mistaken. You remember the story where the children of Israel were murmuring against Moses, and they were complaining about some of their experiences on the journey and some of the trials. I think one of the translations of the Bible says they were complaining about the trials that the journey entailed. And because of that, serpents were released into their midst. And these serpents hurt them. These serpents damaged a lot of them. This serpent tormented a lot of them. And of course, a lot of them died as a result of it. But through that evil, through that pandemic, through that plague of that serpent, Moses lifted up his voice and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord told him, bring the people together. And he said to him, set up a serpent, a brass serpent or a bronze serpent, and set it up on a tree, on a pole, and have them, whoever is afflicted, have them look very strongly at that serpent. Actually, it's very interesting because later in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ actually compared what Moses did way back there in Numbers, I think it's Numbers chapter 21, if I'm not mistaken. The Lord Jesus Christ compared that to what he was gonna do and what the people needed to do in order to escape the assault of the enemy. And I think it's probably, I'm not sure, 14, John 3, 14, 15. I'm not sure now that I don't have those scriptures exactly before me, but I'm remembering that scripture here and that analogy that the Lord said to them to fix their eyes on him. He says, as many as will believe on him and as many will look intently on him. That's exactly what Moses said to them in the Old Testament with the advent of that plague of the serpents. Moses said to them, tell the people, this was the instruction that the Lord gave to Moses, tell the people to fix their eyes on that serpent, and as many as do that will be saved. Now, so it's very interesting that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples in the New Testament. So I just want to encourage you, fix your eyes very strongly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fix your eyes on what's going on in the society, in the communities, in the cities, in the nations, in the world. Not that we're unaware, not that we're unaffected, not that we don't care, But I'm saying to you, in line with the word of God, with the scriptures that I just gave you, to fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says they looked upon him. I think that's Psalm 34. I'm not sure. They looked unto him. They looked upon him. And as many as looked upon him were enlightened. They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. So as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord, as long as you keep your gaze on him, so keep your focus on him. Don't be so focused on the disaster. Don't be so focused on the pandemic. Don't be so focused on all the negative news. I mean, you can hardly turn anything on. It's all negative news. And it's how many have died and how many are dying. And our heart really goes out to all of these precious people, all over our nation, all over the world. These lives are very precious. We're not in any way diminishing. When you know people, especially when if it touches you and you know some of the people that have been affected by this, this is evil. And this is traumatic, but I'm encouraging you, child of God, don't focus on that trauma. Don't focus on that evil. Remember that even those who are not, suffering as a result of coronavirus or COVID-19, are being affected by other things. You know, cancer hasn't been taking up the earth. The plague of cancer is still there. Other evil things are still happening. I mean, the enemy always has evil things in his bag, bags of evil little tricks. But our escape out of that is exactly what Moses said to the children of Israel. He said to them, keep your eyes strongly fastened on that serpent on the tree. That brass serpent. That serpent represents the Lord Jesus Christ. His crucifixion. You know, that's exactly how Jesus was crucified on the tree. So in this season and beyond, let's keep our eyes on our Savior. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us. All right. Now, last week, I know that we discussed and I went over some of the things that we had been discussing before, teaching before, on God's guaranteed protection for his children, for his covenant children. And we talked about the three ways in which God guarantees protection for his children. Number one, he guarantees our protection by his presence. He is with us. He's always with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. So that guarantees our protection. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, the Lord is always going to be with us. And that guarantees our protection. Number two, he guarantees our protection by his covenant. You know, so the first one, his presence. Wherever you go, his presence is with you. He's always there. And especially when you are someone who has learned to practice the presence of God and you are constantly conscious and aware of that presence being with you, he guarantees our protection by his presence. But number two, he guarantees our protection by his covenant. Because of his covenant is our defense. His covenant is our guarantee. His covenant is our advantage, our redemption. And we've learned some of those things before now. And then the third way through which God guarantees our protection is through the ministry of the angels that have been assigned to us. All of us, you and I, have angels that have been assigned to us, and those angels guarantee, God guarantees our protection by the ministry and by the activity of those angels. In Hebrews, he says, are they not sent? Are they not ministering spirits sent to minister for them that will be heirs of salvation? That's you and I. And we know, of course, in Psalm 91, where he says, no evil will come near your dwelling place. No plague, no plague will befall you or evil come near your dwelling place. He says, because he has given his angels charge over us. They will, to keep us in all our ways, they will bear us up, in their hands so that we don't dash our feet against the stone. So we know the ministry of the angels is very potent. Now, last week, I believe the area that I focused on more as we studied together were some of the things that we need to do to enhance that protection plan that the Lord has for us as his children. And what are some of those things that we need to do? Number one, remember to trust him. Let your confidence always be in him. Trust him fully. Don't be afraid. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, we have not received the spirit of fear or bondage. Mm-mm. But we have the spirit of God. We have the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. So God is with us. We have no reason to be afraid. Remember in that Psalms, I think it's Psalm 125, where he says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, Psalm 125 verses 1 and 2, I think it is. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, that's how the Lord surrounds his people. So we have no reason to be afraid. That's number one. Number two, remember his name. Remember to use his name. Don't forget the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, the Bible says, is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and they are safe. Number three, the word of God. Speak the word of God boldly. Don't be silent. I like that line in our confession that says, I will not be silent, but I will boldly declare what thus saith the Lord, because his words in my mouth are just as powerful as his words in his own mouth, and they will never return to him void. That Jesus has conquered the world and he has overcome it for me. He's deprived it of power to hurt me. So keep speaking the word of God. Keep speaking the word of God boldly. Remember, even the angels, Psalm 103 says in the Bible, even the angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. So speak the word of God boldly. If there are things going on around you, or you see something on the TV that bothers you, or there's a sound of fear around you, there's something that concerns you, don't internalize that fear. Immediately speak the word of God and speak it boldly. Say, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is my keeper. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I will not be confounded. I've set my face like a flint, and the Lord God will help me. I will not be ashamed. In the name of Jesus, he's my protector. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Speak the word of God and speak it boldly. That enhances the protection. The enemy cannot stand the word of God. When you speak the word of God, remember the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, the word of God is the sword of the spirit. When you speak the word of God, you are actually in the spirit realm. You are releasing ammunition. You are releasing power, and the enemy cannot stand that. Remember when he came to attack the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of his ministry, and the Lord kept on saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And eventually Satan had no choice but to leave him alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word of God, the word of God will enhance the protection plan that the Lord has for us. And then, of course, finally, what we need to do, which is where I really want to focus most of my attention in our teaching tonight, I started to do that on Sunday, talk about that on Sunday, is putting on our garment of praise. Putting on our garment of praise guarantees and it enhances the protection plan that the Lord has prepared for us as his children. So tonight, go with me on a journey, because I want us to strengthen our roots in putting on that garment of praise. I want us to delve very strongly in this season and beyond on the empowerment that God has made available to us through praise. Now, number one, you know, you can't possibly you cannot possibly remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, especially as we celebrate Easter. Good Friday is just a couple of days away. You can't possibly focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, that redemption, the way he walked it out, the way he gave it to us, how he redeemed us. You can't possibly focus on what Jesus did and not have a heart that is constantly full of praise. Now, you may not have a heart that is constantly full of praise if you are not focusing on redemption. If you are not focusing on what the Lord Jesus Christ did to purchase our redemption, our salvation, to redeem us from death and to translate us into the kingdom of God. You know what the Bible says? He was made a curse. You remember that in Galatians 3, 13 and 14? Jesus was made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith in Christ Jesus, and so that we may receive the gift or the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when you think about the price he paid, he hung on the tree. That's what Galatians 3:13 says. He became a curse. He became a curse for us so that we could be redeemed. Now, we cannot possibly focus on that and not have hearts that are full of praise. So in this season, one of the first things that need to happen is we need to strongly focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ did, the price that he paid. Now, when that happens, you will find out how easy it is for our tongues to constantly give him praise. You just find yourself busting out in praise. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for how you became a curse for me. Thank you, you became sin so that I can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, you took on poverty even though you were rich so that I could be rich in Christ. Thank you, Lord. You overcame sickness by taking sickness on. You bore on yourself the curse of sickness so that I could be redeemed from that curse of the law, the curse of sickness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you will find out the more you focus on what Jesus did, his sacrifice on the cross, the more praise erupts out of your heart. Actually, the Bible does tell us that in Hebrews chapter 13. If you want to look there in Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to read that from verse 12. It says, therefore, Jesus also, this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. It says, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside of the city. Jesus, that he might redeem us and sanctify us as holy people unto God, a peculiar people unto God. The Bible says he suffered outside of the city. He took on all of that pain and sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He took on all of that pain, that trauma in the Garden of Gethsemane and went on to the cross. The Bible says he suffered outside of the city. So then now look at the next verse in verse 13. It says, let us then go forth therefore unto him outside of the city, outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. Verse 14, it says, for here we have no permanent city, but we are looking for the one which is to come. This is not our inheritance. The Lord paid the price for us to be able to earn the God status that he had while he lived on earth. But ultimately, he put and took on all of that he did to ascertain for us an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. So the Bible says, the word of God says, here, this is not our permanent home. No. We're looking for the home, the city that he promised. Hallelujah. The city that he promised that is to come. Amen. But now then look at verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. If you focus on the sacrifice of Jesus, how he suffered for us, how he took the pain and he took on the curse of the law. If you focus on the sacrifice of Jesus, then it becomes easy for the sacrifice of praise to flow out of our lips. It's called the sacrifice of praise because we do it even when we don't feel like it, because Jesus did what he did for us even when he did not feel like it. You remember his struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he went there and the pain and the trauma and the affliction that he was about to endure, all of that came on him, and in those moments he started to say, Lord, I'll do your will, but if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. By no means did he feel in his natural life like doing what he did. He was committed to doing the will of God. He was committed to redeeming us as God's people. But let's not forget that he was human. He was as human as he was divine. And he had the feelings, the passions of his humanity created a heavy burden on him as that moment drew close. But he went and did it anyways. He took on the pain and he took on the sacrifice and he endured all that was meted out to him. And the Bible says we also should offer unto him the sacrifice of praise. And there are times when you may not feel like praising. There are times when you may not feel like you have any reason to praise. But we do always have a reason to praise. We just need to remind ourselves of what the Lord has done for us. So the Bible says we should continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, and that we should give thanks to his name. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it. It says, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer unto God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Let us offer unto him a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. In this season, I want to encourage you, beloved, offer that sacrifice. This is our season of high praises. Hallelujah. Offer that sacrifice. Offer it in the morning. Offer it in the afternoon. Offer it in the evening when the sun is going down. Offer it in the nighttime, in the middle of the night. Offer the sacrifice. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't cry. Don't murmur. Don't be frustrated. All of these are natural things, but don't take it on. Hallelujah. Offer unto him continually the sacrifice of praise. Let the praise of God continually be upon our lips. Let the praise of God continually be upon our lips. Like David, like what David said in Psalm 34, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's actually obeying the instruction that Paul gave us, Apostle Paul gave us in Hebrews 13. Look at that. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and he saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ought to be like David, constantly and continually praising him, offering him our sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Constantly and continually offering unto the Lord our sacrifice of praise, blessing him at all times. Now, your praise is powerful. Your praise is a powerful. It's a powerful transaction. The way Jesus made those sacrifices for us. And when we in turn, like he did, when we make the sacrifice of praise, there is a supernatural transaction there which makes all of divinity available unto the child of God. When we consider what Jesus did, and in his sacrifice, when we also take on and put on the sacrifice and give to the Lord continually and offer God continually. I'm not saying every now and then. I'm not saying one day out of three. I'm not saying maybe 1 hour out of 24. I'm saying continually, continually. There's no complaining. There's no murmuring. There's no reason to murmur. There's no reason to complain. There's no reason to have a foul attitude. Put on continually, continually the sacrifice of praise. Be thankful. Even if you don't like what life is dealing you, be thankful. Even if you don't like where you are today, be thankful. Hallelujah. Put on and take on the sacrifice of praise. Put it on your lips continually. That transaction puts you in a position to enjoy all that divinity promises. Praise isn't just the way that we overcome the assault of the enemy, the attacks of the devil. Yes, praise puts us over. I might read a couple of scriptures that remind us of that. But there's so much more. Praise is what guarantees our harvest. Praise guarantees our blessings. Even when we go through dry seasons, when we go through dry times, praise causes the heavens to be open unto us. Praise causes the blessings of open heavens to visit with us. Hallelujah. Even when the times are tough, even when it's difficult, even when we don't know how to get through the difficulty that we're dealing with in the moment, praise will cause the heavens to be open over us. Praise will guarantee our harvest. I want you to read with me in Psalm 67. Psalm 67, let the people praise you. That's what he said, the psalmist said. Psalm 67, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations. I really like that verse right there. It says that your way in the Amplified, it says that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power, your deliverances, and your salvation among all nations. Do you know there's not been a better time for the world to experience the saving health of God's power? There's not been a better time for the entire world to come into a direct experience and have a direct encounter with the saving health. Look at what he says here. He says that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving health among the nations. But he goes on, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad. Let them sing for joy. For you will judge the people righteously, and you govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth will yield her increase. Hallelujah. The earth will yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. I believe it's one of these translations, one of the more literal translations. It may actually be the Amplified, that talks about our praise sustaining and guaranteeing a harvest. Look at that verse right there where he says, the earth will yield an increase. Verse 6. Look at that in the Amplified. He says, the earth has yielded its harvest in evidence of God's approval. God, even our own God, will bless us. So you see right there, praise will yield your harvest. Praise will yield your blessings regardless of prevailing circumstances around you. Praise will yield our harvest. Sometimes we don't feel like praising. Sometimes we're surrounded by reasons or by evidences of the reasons to cry, to mourn. Like the psalmist says, sometimes we feel like we're going through this valley of weeping. The psalmist calls it in Psalm 84, he calls it the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, the valley of tears. Sometimes we feel like we're going through the valley of tears. But even when we feel that way, we ought to take on our garment of praise. Hallelujah. We ought to take on our garment of praise. Let me read that scripture to you in Psalm 84. Even when we feel like the only thing we see around us, the only reason, the only justifiable, the only reasonable thing that we are tempted to do is cry, we ought to take on the garment of praise. Look at it in Psalm 84. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? My soul longs, yea, even faints for the gates, for the court of our Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. The sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, are my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising you. They will be still praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Look at how he puts it in the Amplified. He says, blessed are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing, that's verse 4, they will be singing your praises all the day long. Singing his praises all the day long. His praise will continually be in their mouth. He said, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, or the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings. With blessings. Even when you feel like you are going through the valley of weeping, even when you feel like the only reasonable thing for you to do is cry or mourn, the Bible says don't do that. Take on the garment of praise. Yes, I know it is natural to succumb to those feelings. I know it is natural to be frustrated. It is natural to despair. It is natural to be anxious. It's natural to be troubled. But the Word of God says, don't let that define what you do. The Bible says we should take on the garment of praise. He says that we should continue singing. We should continually take on singing. He says, blessed is the man whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings. They will go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power, each of them appearing before God in Zion. Do you know, even when we don't go to church, there is Zion right where we live. There's Zion right where we live. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. You might say, but that feels more like you'll be better in church. Yeah, maybe. But even when you can't get to church, you remember like Paul and Silas, you know, there are circumstances in life sometimes that sometimes limit us from getting with the congregation of the upright. But even when that happens, we can still praise. We can still put on praise continually. Hallelujah. I know my time is running here. I have a few more powerful things that I've got to share with you here. Your praise will put you in position to enjoy the best of God. Your praise will. Your praise will. Now, this is very important. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will destroy the yoke. The Bible tells us that there isn't any yoke that the anointing of the Holy Spirit cannot destroy. The yoke of COVID-19, the yoke of cancer, the yoke of poverty, the yoke of emotional desperation, the yoke of depression, the yoke of whatever yokes there are. The Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. But I want you to see how the anointing works in partnership with praise. The anointing will destroy the yoke, but it is praise that actually gives the anointing the authority to do that. Remember, I said earlier that our praise brings us into this divine transaction with God. When we offer up the sacrifice of praise, we take on the divine nature, the divine ability of God, and everything that divinity is able to accomplish upon the earth, we get access to through our praise. Our praise is that powerful. Our praise can cause angels to move and be released on our behalf. Our praise can cause an eruption in the spirit. Our praise can cause our enemies to start fighting one another. We see that in the scriptures, in the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verse 20. Our praise can create confusion in the camp of the enemy. If there are things going on that are set against us and we suddenly begin to praise, our praise can create an earthquake upon the earth. Our praise is powerful. It is our praise that enhances the anointing of the Holy Spirit and causes the anointing to produce in our lives. Now, look at these two scriptures real quickly here. I know I'm running short for time, but the Lord is helping us. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, it's a very well-known scripture. Most people know this scripture. In verse 24, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite you with a rod, and he will lift up his staff against you after the manner of Egypt." So God is reminding them, there are these enemies in the world that are like their enemy, Egypt, way back then when they were in bondage. But God said, don't be afraid of them. He says, "For yet a very little while, and the indignation or the scourge will cease, and my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he put it up after the manner of Egypt." God is saying, I will execute vengeance on that enemy. But look in verse 27. He says, "And it will come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Everything that the Lord promised the children of Israel here will be executed by the anointing. But do you know what enhances that anointing? You know, many times believers are going through this dryness, and they know that God is with them. The presence of God is with them. They know they are anointed. They know that God's word has promised them different outcomes than what they're experiencing. But a lot of times they allow that dryness, that prevailing dryness in their situation to stop them and limit them from praising. And when we do that, when we let that happen to us, the anointing that should break and destroy the yoke becomes almost paralyzed. That anointing almost becomes futile, almost becomes powerless, because it is praise that enhances the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In that scripture that we read in earlier, in a couple of days ago in our Sunday service, in Isaiah chapter 61, remember where it says, "I'll give unto them," Isaiah 61 verse 3, says, "to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." Notice how praise works hand in hand with the oil, with the anointing. He says, he will give unto them the oil of joy for mourning. That's that same anointing, the anointing oil that destroys the yoke. But that oil, that anointing is enhanced by the garment of praise. He says he will give unto them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That word garment in that scripture, for those of you who are into the Hebrew, is the Hebrew word mati, M-A-A-T-E-H. That word actually can be translated garment, cloak, or mantle. Mantle. Now, I love the translation mantle. You see, actually, a number of literal translations, contemporary translations, instead of using garment of praise, they use mantle of praise. Do you remember where the Bible tells us about God's power flowing through a mantle? The anointing flowing through a mantle? It's in 2 Kings chapter 2. You remember that story? I don't have the time to read it now. But you remember in 2 Kings chapter 2, the story of Elijah, when Elijah was about to be taken and his servant, Elisha, was following him. And he said to Elisha, ask me whatever you will. And Elisha said, all I want is a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your anointing. That's what he was asking for. I want a double portion of your anointing. Well, maybe I should read that scripture because there's something about it. Why don't we read it together, right? That's even better, right? 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's just read just a couple of verses and then I can run on and try to close this out tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want you to see how the anointing works with this garment of praise. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 2. Look there. It says there, let's read it from verse 11. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Remember, this is a man that never worked any miracle in his life. This is a man that had never, the only evidence of the divine power of God that Elisha had experienced up to this point in his life and his ministry was all he saw in the life of his master Elijah. He himself had never, he was so ordinary that when the sons of the prophet saw him following his master Elijah, following him so closely, the sons of the prophet already knew Elijah was about to be taken. What they didn't realize was that God was going to cause a drop. He was going to cause a release of the anointing that was upon Elijah upon the earth. The sons of the prophets didn't know that, but they knew Elijah was about to be taken. And so Elisha was so ordinary in his experience with divinity, that these sons of the prophets were telling him, hey, I hope you know, you probably don't know much, but hey, let's just let you know, your master is about to be taken away from you. Elisha said, don't worry, I know it. At least he knew that much. But he had such an ordinary experience until he took a hold of that mantle. And when he took a hold of that mantle, the very first thing he did, the Bible says he stepped back. When the sons of the prophets, that's verse 14. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters. He stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took that mantle of Elijah and smote the waters and parted it here and there. And Elisha went over. This is the first time ever he was going to experience the divinity in his life. The divine power in his own personal life and ministry. Elisha would never have argued with you that God did signs and wonders upon the earth, but he would have said to you, I don't think he'll do it through me. Yeah, I know he'll do it through my master Elijah, he's the man of God, but I don't know that he'll do it through me. The first time ever he experienced that, the anointing came together with the mantle, his garment of praise. That mantle, that scripture we read in Isaiah 61, describes praise as a garment or a mantle. when you put on that garment of praise, the power of God works in our lives. The anointing of the resurrection. You know where Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was manifest when Jesus rose from the dead and redemption became a reality to all of mankind. And everything that Jesus was and everything that Jesus could do and everything that Jesus could be as a man on earth became available to every child of God. Hallelujah. As power of his resurrection. As the power of his resurrection. To the point where even things that have been long forgotten, things that have been given up on, things that have been destroyed, ages past, can come right back to life. Come right back to life. As the power of his resurrection. But do you know a lot of that is enhanced by the garment of praise? Praise will build a protective armor around your life and shield you from Satan's evil assaults. That's why David didn't need Saul's armor. All David needed was the anointing and praise. And the anointing and praise delivered Goliath. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The anointing of God working with praise delivered Goliath to David. David didn't need Saul's armor. He already had an armor on. His armor was praise. He had on the garment of praise. What we're talking about tonight is how to put that garment on. Is how to offer unto God continually the sacrifice of praise, to offer it from our lips continually, to realize the potent power of praise. Praise will unleash deliverance. Praise will open closed prison doors. You know that from Paul and Silas' story. Praise will release God's power and change things upon the earth for the vindication and the elevation of God's people. You can praise your way out of every battle and you can praise your way into victory. You can praise your way out of every corner of life and you can bust out into the unlimited spheres of the divine powers of God. Praise can translate us from mere non-entities, nobodies, to giants in the kingdom of God. Giants in the kingdom of God. Praise can bring us to the valley of blessings that the Lord has ordained. Let's close up and let's go and read the story of Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know what? Just can we take a praise break just for 1 minute? I see my time is going. But let's take a praise break just for 1 minute. Just wherever you are, just lift up your hands, close your eyes and just praise the Lord a little bit. Just give him the glory and give him the praise. Father, I honor you. I bless you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness, for your loving kindness. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. I give you all the worship. Lord, I exalt you. I thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. I thank you for the redemptive work of Jesus. I thank you for what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. I thank you, God, for what he did on the cross of Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for what he did when he went into the midst of hell and Hades. I thank you for what he did when he rose up from the dead. I thank you for redemption. I thank you for the power of his resurrection. I thank you, God, for your protection. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your mercy over my life and my family. I thank you, God, for every good thing that you have prepared and ordained for us. Thank you, God, because your plan for my life has not changed in spite of everything going on in the world. I thank you, God, because you have loved me with an everlasting love. I thank you, God, because you are perfecting everything that concerns me. I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I thank you for the covenant. I thank you for the name of Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. God, I give you the glory and I give you the praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel that garment. I feel that mantle even in this studio tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ought to do that. Not just when we're in service like this. Not just when we're ministering the word of God like this. From time to time, we ought to do that. We ought to just take a praise break. You are cooking in the kitchen. Just kind of hold things and turn off that oven or turn off whatever the burner or whatever. So it doesn't, but you just have a praise break and just go into the presence of God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for sustaining my life. I may not have everything that I need, but God, I thank you that I have you. And if I have you, that means I do have everything that I need. I give you praise for your love over my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And just honor him and just bless his name. Oh, that would do something for you, child of God. Oh, that supernatural exchange will bring you into the realms of divinity that you've never experienced before. Hallelujah. Like Paul and Silas, that exchange will cause chains to be broken. That exchange will create earthquake in your situation. That exchange will cause you to be released from everything that has held you in bondage. That exchange will cause the blessings of God to be released to you that have been held captive for so long. Hallelujah! That exchange will break the spirit and the yoke of dryness that you may have experienced in your life in seasons past. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do that more. Do that more and more. Do it in this season. And do it beyond this season. Amen. And just let it reap and just let it go. And just bless his name. And just bless his name. And all through the rest of this week and the rest of this month and the rest of this season, just bless his name. I know our time is almost gone. Let's quickly read about Jehoshaphat. Real quick, let's close here. Let's close here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Remember the story? It's too long for us to read the entire thing. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. Remember the story? All this evil enemies came against him, and they came together. They came together in a partnership. Children of Moab, children of Ammon, Syrians, and who are these other ones? And they all came together and banded together. And the Bible says there was a multitude that came together against him. A multitude. Thank God Jehoshaphat knew what to do when and sought the Lord. And the Lord put his word in the mouth of one of his prophets who spoke to them. And the Bible says in verse 20 here, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they rose up early in the morning and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Amen. I love that. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. I love that. I love that. He appointed singers. Not soldiers. He appointed singers. Nothing wrong with soldiers. But I tell you, folks, singers who know how to praise God. Real praisers will win the battle before the soldiers know what's going on. He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come together against Judah, and they were smitten. The Lord, because of their praise, sent ambushments against their enemies. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy the other. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and the precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. There was so much blessing, it took them 3 days to gather the spoil. It was so much, the Bible says. And on the fourth day, they assembled together themselves in the valley of Beraka, like that. Valley of Beraka means the valley of blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka, or the Valley of Blessing, unto this day. The Valley of Blessing. The Valley of Blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemy. Child of God, as I close out tonight, I encourage you to put on your mantle of praise in this season. Make this your season of high praises. Make this your season. The Bible says your praise is a weapon. Your praise is like a double-edged sword. Put it on continually. It's not just to fight, but also to honor Him, to glorify Him for what He's done for us. And as you praise Him, like the Lord said to us, like He prophesied to us a few days ago, as you praise Him, He will do wonders in your life. Amen. Do you receive that word? Glory to God. All right, let's pray together and close out tonight. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word with your precious people. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has visited with us here through the airwaves. Lord, thank you for the clarity that you've given us through the word. Thank you for the anointing and the grace that you've made available unto us. Lord, thank you for this season, the advent of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. All through this season, Lord, as we set our eyes upon Him, like the children of Israel set their eyes on the serpent that was set upon the tree. As they looked intently, not just a glance, but as they looked intently, God, as we look intently at Jesus, as we focus strongly on Him, enable us, Father, enable us to erupt in praise continually. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, every night time, even in the middle of the night. Help us to not be caught up in the frenzy of the world. Help us not to be caught up in all the confusion and in all the pain and the agony that is going on all over the world and all over our nation. Enable us, Father, to take on the garment and the mantle of praise and to honor you and to glorify you. And I thank you that when we do that, you will do wonders in our lives. I give you all the glory, Lord. I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters. Bless them and their families. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you, beloved. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And just keep on praising Him. Keep on praising Him. God bless you. See you next time.